Well, the sun was covered for a little bit in North America this week. We eclipsed it.
We did eclipse. It was cool.
We only had like 70% coverage.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool. More than enough for me.
Well, it got really dusky. And cold. Which was very interesting. And it did get colder. So that was fun. I do love that your friend who's a science teacher was... Like, just to be clear, we are not having a total eclipse in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Your pets will be fine.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, this will not affect the animals. It's just like if it was a cloudy day.
Like, everybody calm down. Yeah. The science teachers had such a blast. They all had, like, matching t-shirts and, like, did all this, like, really cute stuff with their classes. So, like, I imagine it's a lot of fun. Because the last one we had in Baltimore in 2017 was in the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So... couldn't do it with the class.
Yeah. So it's cool. I drove by Morgan State and like all the students at Morgan State were like out on the grounds looking up at the sky with their glasses. It's just like a fun, like things like that kind of make you feel, I don't know, part of the bigger world. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so does O.J. Simpson dying. He fucking died. Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah.
You're breaking the news.
Okay.
When did it happen?
Apparently yesterday, but the news is breaking today. So I have to go to FedEx a lot. And I go to one particular FedEx. So I'm in the FedEx with the employees. And the manager comes out and she goes, guys, OJ's dead. And she looked at me and she goes, can you believe it? And I was like, what?
Again, if we covered men.
If we covered men, we'd definitely cover him because he's a murderer.
Right.
Accused. And yeah. And so I texted Casey and I was like, OJ Simpson is dead. He goes, oh my gosh, will the casket fit?
That is a good joke, fiance.
And then I was driving, so I didn't text him back. And he goes, oh, God, was that too dark?
Oh, like, no. Too soon? No, not too soon, because he killed some people and got away with it. So
exactly.
That's
but
fine.
Yeah, so Eclipse and OJ, those are the big news stories from last week when you're listening to this.
The man who made the Kardashians now dead.
Isn't it wild?
I know.
That he started off what is now like one of the most, the richest families.
I know.
It's
I know.
Really weird to think about.
And we haven't done the Kardashians, and we absolutely have to. What a shit
storm. I know. Should we just do them as one lump group?
Yeah, we really have to. That way we don't have to, like, really dive deep.
Yeah, I don't want to have to talk about Kanye West 7 times.
No, I can't handle it. But we're not here.
No, to talk about OJ or Kanye or any of those guys. We're here to talk about Herstory.
On the Rocks.
With Katie.
And Allie.
This is a podcast where we talk about famous women in history.
We talk about good women and bad women and fictional women and non-fictional women from all times and places, because women have nuance.
But keep in mind, we are drinking the entire time.
And we are not historians.
Definitely not. So no. Important to note.
Yeah, you have to know that. And I'm not a gamer.
Yeah.
I'm gamer adjacent, I feel like.
Yeah.
So, like, I can handle this.
Yes, you're definitely more in the world than I am.
Yeah.
Like, as far as games go, it's funny because the only games I've ever played have had to do with your character, really.
Right. And
they're
those
all
are
in that world.
Yes. Yeah, and they're very accessible. Mm-hmm. They're accessible games. Mm-hmm. So you are busy standing outside looking at your astrological event.
Yes.
Like maybe there's a meteor shower mm-hmm. happening and you're like listening to our podcast to try to keep you awake while you're waiting. Or maybe you're driving between two cities because cloud coverage happened in your city and you're trying to get somewhere else.
Exactly. So either way, you're busy. You can't look down at your phone to look up what these women look like. So we're going to describe them for you. We're going to get a little...
Physical.
Allie, who are you doing and what does she look like? She's so cute.
She is so cute. This is our third fictional woman of this season. Oh, and thank you, Alicia, for sending us the well facts.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. So before baby Jessica, there was another well event with a baby falling down a well.
And this is referring to the Lassie episode.
Yes. Yeah, yes. So, speaking of fictional characters.
Yeah. So that was one of them. So now I am doing Princess Peach. Princess Peach has looked the same through pretty much of all of her iterations through the years, although there have been some slight variations here and there. Mm-hmm. She has golden hair, big eyes with like cat makeup, a white and pink color blocked dress adorned with a blue gem necklace and blue gem earrings, big puffy sleeves, a white collar, a little tiny crown that sits atop her hair. And her look also includes elbow length white gloves. In earlier video games, she was very pixely, so they had to make concessions because they could really only use three colors. So her hair was like reddish brown, and her dress was white with that same red trim, and then her skin was tan. But the actual sketch that was done by the artist in Japan actually looks pretty close to modern day Peach. And the original creator said that she should look stubborn but charming, which I think is kind of how Peach looks.
They achieved it.
Her dress has changed, adding lace in different places and pink in different amounts, light pink versus dark pink. She has gotten a belt over the years, a magical parasol. Sometimes her jewelry is pink, but not typically. And in the spinoff of games, like when she plays Mario Sports or is in Mario Kart, sometimes her hair is in a ponytail or covered by a helmet. But we haven't been able to see her shoes until recently.
Really?
Yes, because, you know, she's always in a big gown. Oh, and true. They are sensible magenta heels.
I love that.
That's what Princess Peach looks like. Such a cutie.
Ugh. All right. I am doing Gypsy Rose Blanchard. Gypsy Rose is a young woman who has spent most of her life in a wheelchair and looking like she is 10 years old, no matter what age she really was. She was always dressed in very childlike clothing, including a lot of princess costumes. She would wear big glasses over her small, kind of closely centered eyes. And she would wear large hats or cosplay wigs over her shaved head. She has a big smile, but her teeth often have large gaps in them, or some of them have fallen out, or and the back ones have been capped. So when she smiles big, you can see a lot of the silver capping in the back. And that's what she looks like in all the famous photos of her. And then for a while, she's wearing a prison jumpsuit. And now she dons more fashionable clothing. She has ditched the glasses for contacts and wears her long brown hair down and waved. And that's what
that's Gypsy Rose looks like. So she's changed drastically.
Yes, yes, she has. Lots of different looks over the years.
All right. So before we dive into these two very different ladies, would you like to know what you're drinking?
Yes, I would.
This drink is called a Regent Worth Saving.
Ooh.
And it is 1 ounce of orange vodka, a half an ounce of peach schnapps, a half an ounce of banana liqueur, 3 ounces of peach juice, topped off with club soda, and then you put 3 peach rings in the glass and 1 on the edge of the glass.
I love it.
Peach ring candies. Cheers. This is my first ever peach ring candy, by the way. I've never eaten one before.
What?
I never had a need to. I'm not a big gummy. So like, I don't, like, buy gummies.
I'm a huge gummy fan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I go for, like, a Reese's or, like, a trail mix. Mm. I would pick before I picked, like, a bag of gummy bears. It's not that I don't like them. It's just I pick other things first.
Yeah. Oh, I love them. Mm-hmm. And I love this cocktail. It tastes kind of like a banana runt.
Yeah,
it
does.
Which is very funny.
It does taste.
I like it.
I like it too. I wanted it to be peach in color, even though there's very little of Princess Peach that is peach. I wanted it to be like her namesake. She's a lot of pinks and blues and yellows.
I love it.
So tell me what you know about Princess Peach.
Okay, so Princess Peach is a part of the Mario universe, the Super Brothers, Super Mario Brothers universe. I feel like she's usually like. I feel like she used to be like someone who was always being like saved and then has been more part of the storyline. It was like growing up, I always felt connected to her because she was like the only female I would see in the video game universe.
Yes.
So I would always pick her. And then there was also like a brown haired princess. Daisy?
Daisy's her name.
Okay, yeah. Daisy. And then of course, if Daisy was there, I'd pick her because she had brown hair. Mm-hmm. But she wasn't in it as often. But like Peach was like the only girl it felt like.
Yeah. And much like you in your life, she was surrounded by Donkey Kong and Yoshi,
Bowser.
Mario, Luigi, Bowser. Just like the crew of unfortunate boy.
Yes.
Like the mismatched crew. Mismatched crew of boys.
But yeah, that's like all I know about her is that she's a character. I don't know if she appears in every game or just some of them. But yeah, that's it.
Okay, so you're so right. Here's my origin, where I got everything. So I first watched a YouTube video called Princess Peach Origins with Kyle Universe. And then I watched The True Origins of Princess Peach by The Men Talk. I went through the fandom wiki. I went through Wikipedia. And I found another video called 107 Interesting Facts About Princess Peach. Which, like, that's
I love those videos.
I'm like, just give me a bulleted list. Thank you. And then, of course, one of my dear friends at school, teacher friends, is a huge gamer. And he has, like, Bowser as the background of his computer. So I went in and I was like, what have I missed? This is what I know. Like, what have I missed? So that's all of my sources. And his name is Ethan. So let's get into it. Princess Peach has been a popular mainstay Nintendo character for 40 years. And I will say this fact very often tonight, because every source continued to drill it home. She is video games history's most popular female character.
Really?
She has appeared in more games than any other female character in the history of video games.
That's so cool.
Yeah. She is the female icon for gaming.
I love that.
Because she came out so early. Mm-hmm. It was like a lot of games included her. And then also a lot of people copied how she was. Mm-hmm. So the Princess Peach archetype, the courageous young hero that saves the beautiful woman, is as old as time. Although I'm sure ancient China, Greece, and the Mayans probably have similar stories that are much, much older, it's very easy to just go back to Greek mythology when Andromeda was so beautiful that she was more beautiful than the gods. So Poseidon chains her to a rock near the water to be eaten by a monster. And Perseus comes to save her, this beautiful maiden who has been left to be eaten by monsters. This story has been told in epics and novels and radio broadcasts and movies. But in the mid-70s, a new medium for telling stories was emerging, the video game. At this time, a Japanese creative genius named Miyamoto, founded a company called Nintendo. They're making arcade games at the time and about to change the world forever with a little game called Sheriff. It's not anything like Mario, except for the fact that there is like a cowboy and he's fighting off bandits to save like the woman that they captured in this Western town. And at the end, he saves her and all these little like hearts pop up on the screen, like digitized hearts in a heart shape. And it was wildly successful, like, to save this girl. So the template for Miyamoto's games start to emerge. And we see this in games like Donkey Kong, mm-hmm. Legends of Zelda, and Mario. But none of these are made yet. Miyamoto's a part of so many different projects. And the first one other than Sheriff that is a massive, massive industry success is Donkey Kong. And this is a King Kong type character who steals a maiden and then she has to be saved. Donkey Kong was such a big success that it gets a spinoff. And the spinoff of Donkey Kong is, of course, Mario, which is that's why he's in all the like Mario Kart games.
I did not know that Mario is a spinoff of Donkey Kong.
Yeah, it's like
that
the Fraser Cheers situation.
That sounds like an SAT question. Mario is to Donkey Kong as Cheers is to Fraser.
They don't seem like they connect. But yeah, that's why he's all, and that's why like in Mario Kart, like the carts can slip on bananas, which is one of the reasons I wanted banana liqueur. I was like,
yeah,
oh.
I love that.
So Peach's first design was drafted by Miyamoto himself, but he wanted to get a little help fleshing out all of his characters from one of his illustrators, Yoichi Kotobe. Peach's original design is more or less intact today, like I said, in physical. But again, they had to pixelize her and she looks kind of crazy. It's like, you know, they put mm-hmm. boxes together and it's three different colors that mm-hmm. kind of make the shape of a human. It's like making constellations, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not really a dragon, but it's dots that look like a dragon. Mm-hmm. This was for Super Mario Brothers on NES, and that was in 1983. Is when the game first came out. It becomes an ongoing choice for the games for a long time to make her hair red or brown in games, even though in advertisements and illustrations, her hair is blonde.
Hmm.
And I think it has something to do with, like, in game creation, there were only so many shades of yellow at that time.
Right.
Like, so making it yellow blended with skin and other things.
Yeah.
So they just, like, made it a raspberry brown color.
Mm-hmm.
In the early game, Peach was not a main character. Miyamoto has said that they never even discussed having a female main character because at the time, no women, females in Japan were playing video games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just didn't make sense. So, like, they just made the game and she was in the background.
Mm-hmm.
But Peach was a driving force for the plot in that she is behind the reason that Mario is going on all of these adventures. The first game, Super Mario Brothers, releasing for Nintendo, introduced a kidnapped princess of the Mushroom Kingdom. Mario must save her so that she can properly repair the damage to her kingdom that had been done by Bowser's takeover. Many cite the damsel in distress from Donkey Kong as the original Princess Peach, but that is incorrect. Her name is Pauline, and though they may look pretty similar, Pauline's character has been developed and shown up in other games under a different name. So not the same person.
Interesting. You know what I thought of the other day and someone actually put on our list to do? The subject of King Kong came up, and I was like, why don't... Like, do you know who the woman is that he's always having in his hand?
She's an actress.
But, like, why don't we ever know, like, that character? Like, that should be, like, a famous character name.
Yeah, and she's like a main character in the movie.
Yeah.
With the perfect screen. But, yeah, she's an actress filming a movie, and that's when King Kong takes her, right?
Yeah. But isn't that funny? That, like,
yeah, I don't know
her
name.
You would think that she would, like, King Kong's one of those famous, that's one of the most famous scenes of all time.
Let's take,
like,
bets on what her name is right now. Did you look it up?
I did, but I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
The name that always comes up to me is, like, Faye Dunaway. I know it's not her, but, like, that's the type of name I would think. But, like,
no. Oh, I thought, like, character name.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking. Oh. Like, the name sound for, like, I would picture her name being something like Faye Dunaway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, isn't that weird though?
I feel like it would be something simple like Marie.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that funny?
Yeah.
That's not, like, a commonly known
character. We need to talk more about that character. That's a great suggestion.
Yeah, so I put it on our list for next season.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, audience. Thank you, audience member. Okay. So it's not this Pauline woman from Donkey Kong.
Okay.
Or Faye Dunaway. In terms of backstory for Princess Peach, there's actually a surprising amount given in the original game instruction booklet in the 1983 release of the game. Here's what it says, verbatim. One day, the kingdom of... Well, verbatim translated into English.
Okay.
One day, the kingdom of the peaceful mushroom people was invaded by the Koopa, a tribe of turtles famous for their black magic. The quiet, peace-loving mushroom people were turned into mere stones, bricks, and even field horsehair plants, and the mushroom kingdom fell into ruin. The only one who can undo the magic spell on the mushroom people and return them to their normal selves is the Princess Toadstool, the daughter of the Mushroom King. Unfortunately, she is presently in the hands of the Great Koopa Turtle King. Mario, the hero of the story, maybe, hears about the mushroom people's plight and sets out on a quest to free the mushroom princess from the evil Koopa and restore the fallen kingdom of the mushroom people. You are Mario. It's up to you to save the mushroom people from the black magic of the Koopa.
Wow. Okay, so she's of mushroom lineage.
She is of mushroom lineage. She is the princess. Well, up till recently of mushroom lineage. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But yeah, like, so this is saying, like, Bowser took her, and she's the only one who can undo the spell. But that all the bricks and stuff that Mario's bouncing into and the toads are coming out, like the mushrooms, those are her people.
Oh.
That have been transformed. In the kingdom.
Very Moana.
There you go. So now we're saving them.
I also like that it's not just saving her. Like, I like that, like, they're like, she is a very important person. Like, she is a power. Like, her being captured doesn't make her a weak character. It's like, still, she's the only person that can help her kingdom. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
It doesn't say, like, Mario's saving her because she's beautiful and he wants to ask for her hand in marriage.
No.
Saying Mario's saving her because she's the only one powerful enough to undo this magic.
Yeah. I mean, That's the only reason he would walk away from his plumbing job.
Right. What more can you... Well, he kind of like is doing his plumbing job. He's like jumping into pipes the entire time. He's just clearing the pipes. One early design of Princess Peach actually had her with this like mushroom toadstool hat. Kind of like the others, and it was a blue hat with white polka dots, but that didn't last. And especially, they explained this in the recent movie that came out in 2023 that Princess Peach had a human background, went through the pipes, ended up in the Mushroom Kingdom, and ends up being the regent, kind of by accident. So she's a human like Mario and Luigi, but she's ruling the Mushroom Kingdom, as per 2023 movie. So, who is the Mushroom King they referenced? I will say that the Mushroom King is brought up in the English translation booklet, but not in the original Japanese text. However, she did have a dad in some of the early like media that went out before eventually her whole family is kind of wiped away. In 1987, the official Nintendo Player's Guide said that the kingdom was run by a king and queen, and some comics even show her dad. He kind of looks like the Sultan from Aladdin, but with brown hair and a mushroom hat. People just think kingdom equals king and queen. And Toadstool was sometimes thought to be a relative, like a brother or a cousin or something, but they've since said that he's a steward working for the palace. The King Toadstool does not last long and goes by the wayside, leaving Princess Peach to be the lone regent of the whole kingdom. Anyway, in the original game, if you win, Princess Peach comes out and says, "Thank you, Mario. Your quest is over. We present you a new quest. Push button B to select a world." An early game finder said if they didn't see this message, if you got to the end of a level and you were told you had to go and conquer another castle to find Princess Peach, that it was a special kind of torture. Like, you just spent all this time winning. Because some players, even back then, said Princess Peach was the best character because you weren't with her all the time. Oh, like, you were trying to get to her. And actually, the fastest time ever recorded to get to Princess Peach is the world record in the original game is something like 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
What? Yeah.
How is that possible? You have to know cheat codes. I'm sure. Okay. I'm sure.
Okay. So it wasn't a clean victory.
Yeah. I'm unaware of the details. Ask
they were juicing.
Okay.
Got it.
Exactly. Get them tested. In Japan, she was Princess Peach from the very beginning, but the American version referred to her as Princess Toadstool for a really long time. They just said it made more sense with the game. Like, what does a peach have to do with all these mushrooms? Like, we don't understand. But it did change in Super Mario 64. I'm assuming her first name is Peach and her last name is Toadstool. Her surname.
Gotcha.
Princess Peach Toadstool. So, she does, as we said early, start as the official damsel in distress. She's the quintessential damsel in distress, but also today is solidified as a key character in the franchise, going on to become a playable character in many different Mario games. Not as many as the boys are playable, but she is a playable character, starting with Super Mario Brothers 2 for NES was the first time you could play as Princess Peach.
Very cool.
Because she was very playable in spin-off games, a lot of us don't think about that. You can play as Princess Peach in Mario Party, Mario Kart, Super Smash Brothers, Mario Sports, Lego Super Mario, and she has a Hot Wheels, like, self as well. The other new female character, Peach's royal buddy, Daisy, is also playable in many of these spin-offs, and her outfits in these like spin-off games, like in Wii Mario, Mario Sports, like where you play her as a golfer, she's only wearing one of her gloves. Like, it's so cute. Or like if she wins something, she'll all of a sudden turn back into her pretty dress real quick and then undo her dress. But over time, because we got to know Peach through these other games, she got some powers. She is just as fast as the boys, like, and in some games actually faster in a foot race. But one thing that has always stuck with her is when she jumps, she can magically float for a few seconds longer than the other characters. I'm imagining her skirt is acting as Alice in Wonderland, where it's like, and like brings you down. Uh-huh. In Super Smash Brothers, she can also pull turnips from the ground to throw at people.
Okay.
And she never really has a fully fleshed out personality, mm-hmm. Princess Peach, not until we start to see her in movies and comic books. But people definitely started to connect with her more mm-hmm. when they could play her character. In the year 2000, 24 years ago, Paper Mario gave, which is another game, gave her and Mario a story-driven part of the game. So this game is supposed to be a sequel to the original Mario Brothers, but it has a little bit more time talking to characters. She is still kidnapped, but in between the levels where Mario is going to get her, you get to play as Princess Peach in the castle trying to escape and sending like internal messages to Mario. So you're learning that she's not a damsel in distress. She's a political prisoner. You know, like she was captured because she's a political person and they're mm-hmm. trying to like keep her away. In this game, she does befriend that cute little yellow star who helps her communicate back and forth to Mario. She even fights a Koopa at the end of this game while Mario is fighting Bowser. And it's the first time we really got to see Peach doing something. She's not a victim in this kidnapping anymore. Mm-hmm. She's like physically acting to do something to get out of the castle. Mm-hmm. There are two sequels to the Paper Mario game where she gets increased playability and screen time on each one. But it wasn't until 2005 that Princess Peach got her own game for Nintendo DS, which is the DS is the most popular like handheld gaming system, and it's called Super Princess Peach. In Super Princess Peach, Bowser switches his kidnapping. He takes Mario and Luigi, so they are absent for the game, and she becomes the hero trying to get to Bowser and the castle. This is when she gets her infamous parasol named Perry to help her on her journey, and it also gives her some magic powers and such. Now, the boys and the castle are on Vibe Island, which is where Bowser has his vibe scepter that allows him to influence emotions. Some people, many people, both my friend Ethan and a YouTube video are like, this is definitely synonymous with a vibrator. Oh. There's like no question. They did not make it subtle.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the game is a little tone deaf, a bit. Even though it's her first starring role, she has four different vibes or emotions that she can use to play the game. So it's like her emotions drive her personality. So like, for example, when she's joyous, she can like float in the air to help with her task. When she triggers the rage emotion, she turns into like a violent pillar of fire. When she's like crying, she can like run through things really fast. So it's like there's...
It's like she couldn't just be... powerful without like having a meltdown, like.
Yes, yeah, exactly, that's right,
without being hysterical.
So it's like it's a fun game and it's a cute game, and I like it wasn't necessarily purposeful, but it definitely shows you like how people see female character when male people create female characters, this is the type of shit that we get, you know. But anyway, Peach ends up like busting into Bowser's villa and winning at the end, hopefully, if you're good at the game. Now, this game, like I said, was for DS, and the DS is so popular because its playability was more widely accessible to non-gamers or casual gamers. 44% of DS owners are actually female.
Hmm.
So, in an attempt to move more games, this is why Nintendo made a Super Princess Peach, and it worked. The game moved 1.5 million copies worldwide, and it is in the top 50 DS games ever.
Very cool.
But I do want to give McDonald's a shout out here. Because McDonald's actually had a Princess Peach game before them in one of their like Happy Meal things. You know, they gave out watches and the watch had like a little LCD game on it. And they had one for Mario, one for Luigi, and one for Princess Toadstool called Castle Run. So that's technically the first Princess Peach-centered game in 1990. But again, when they gave out Happy Meals, remember how it used to be like, do you want a girl toy or a boy toy in the window? They had to have the girl toy option. Also, there's a very recent game called Princess Peach Showtime, where she like takes on all these like different careers and things and just completes them. Like she's a patissier and works on a stage.
Cute.
Just fun things. Princess Peach thing. She has a variety of super cute outfits. In 1992, Super Mario Adventure was a comic that came out that's loosely based on Mario Brothers. And it takes some liberties because of that. Bowser does come and ask for Peach's hand in marriage. That's why he takes her captive. And like Mario gets turned into a stone. Princess Peach like fights her way into Bowser's castle to try to escape, but Mario and Luigi like come to try to save her, but she's already escaped, so they get taken captive. But anyway, in the end, she comes back with a bomb threatening to blow up the entire building.
Whoa.
If Bowser doesn't let Mario and Luigi go.
Okay.
So a little bit of a badass in that one.
Yeah, really.
Nintendo of America's first voice for Princess Peach was Leslie Swan. This was only for a short time. She actually worked for Nintendo. But since 2021, Samantha Kelly has been her name in, like, pretty much since Mario Party 8. She is the current voice, and she has been for a very long time, mm-hmm. Samantha Kelly. However, in the voice in the movie, Anna Taylor-Joy voiced her.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. The Mario Brothers movie came out last year in 2023, of course. I saw it with the kiddos, and it is a movie about Princess Peach. She has like a pretty solid role. So Mario and Luigi are plumbers in the quote real world, trying to make their business work, kind of disappointing their parents, like this blue collar job. They're not really as good at it as they want to be. They get sucked through pipes and they try to hold on to each other, but they get separated. Luigi ends up with Bowser. Mario ends up in Mushroom Land, and Princess Peach has to train him on how to jump through the obstacles so that he can save his brother.
Yeah.
So she goes through this whole like training sesh where she's like the coach. And then they kind of go to get him because her kingdom is under attack, obviously, by Bowser. And she's got this pink leather suit with a pink helmet and a motorcycle. And she's got to go down Rainbow Road, and just like in the game, she can ride on the walls, but the other characters can't, like in Mario Kart.
I didn't know that that was only a Peach thing.
That's a Peach thing, but you always play Peach.
I
That's why you don't know. It's a Peach thing. Yoshi just rides right off.
I love that.
So she does go to save them, but unfortunately, everybody is kind of at wit's end. And she has to sacrifice herself by accepting Bowser's proposal to marriage.
No.
And then on the day of the wedding, she pulls a flower out of her bouquet and freezes him. And that I'm not going to tell you the end of the movie because it's too good.
Okay. I
can't spoil it. It just came out. If it didn't just come out, I would
right.
be like,
yeah,
I'd just tell you what happens. But I was surprised at how much of a main character she is.
Yeah. Would you recommend watching the movie? Like, was it worth it?
Oh, I loved it. Okay. I loved it. It was very, very good. I'm sure it's better for people who are gamers, like, because there are probably a lot of little Easter eggs, but I truly enjoyed it as someone who's not a gamer. And that, again, like you said, I pretty much only played Mario games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes Ninja Turtles. You never know. Sometimes Sonic the Hedgehog. Mortal Kombat. Okay. So Peach was a wartime princess in that who coaches Mario to help save Luigi and the Mushroom People. And then since then, Universal Studios has opened Mario World everywhere, and it is amazing. I went last summer when I was there. You can meet Princess Peach. Like, okay, so first off, to get in, there's a big green pipe, and you start to walk through the pipe, and when you're halfway through, it starts to, like, light up, but you can't see it because the pipe turns, so until you're in there, and then you walk out, and as theme parks do so well, they make it so high that you can't see anything else. Everything looks like Mario World. You have the castle, Princess Peach's castle, that you can go in, and there's stained glass windows of Princess Peach that are beautiful, by the way. You can go and see Bowser's castle, and all the plants are coming up out of all of the pipes, and the things are going, you know, the big heads. I'll have to show you pictures.
Yeah, this sounds amazing.
You can meet Princess Peach and take pictures with her.
Oh,
she was there walking around as like a meetable character, and it blew me away. I was flabbergasted by the experience.
Wait, where is this?
At all the Universal Studios.
At all the Universals, okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Perfect. So we went to the one in LA when we were out at California, and it was like just opened, so you had to like apply for times to go into the Mario park because it was brand new. So here's what we know. She is a princess regent. She is the head of state of the Mushroom Kingdom. She has more appearances in video games than any female character ever. She's the most iconic and influential female video game character. She's captured the hearts of us not only in games, but in merchandise, in comics, in animated series. Her color scheme has even been used to make game controllers. Most recently in the film, she portrays a strong, capable leader, like she's always supposed to have been. She acts as one of Nintendo's main mascots on a worldwide scale. Now, I've been pretty positive through this, but there is a lot of feminist critique on Princess Peach throughout the years, and it's changed over time, and Nintendo has kind of shifted her role, but we have to accept that she really was just supposed to be a beautiful woman that was going to be saved. Mm-hmm. She's captured more than any other female character in video games. Really? She, you know, is vulnerable to all of the characters around her originally. Mm-hmm. Her fashion was rated as a D, calling her dress old-fashioned and looking like it should be in Hello Dolly.
Hmm. Which is sad.
Others say she's fine, but her peachiness doesn't do anything to upset the apple cart of expectations. Like, she's a fine character, but blah. While some other people say this is an ideal post-feminist solution, mending two worlds, somebody who's super feminine and girly, but mm-hmm. also is a warrior and a regent. Mm-hmm. Defenders of Peach say, when we finally got inside Bowser's castle and could see what she was doing, then you could shrug off the years of her just being captured.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It made it so different. It gave her agency, and she no longer was doomed to dead-end kidnappings. Also, like I said, the Mario Brothers movie made her such a powerful ruler who was willing to engage in battle to protect her subjects. Like, without it being at the expense of her femininity. Mm-hmm. Like, it never took that away from her. Mm-hmm. So for 40 years, she has been, this is a quote from the Washington Post, the most visible woman in video games, having appeared in more titles than any fictional woman in the medium. And that is Princess Peach.
I love it.
What a cute little lady.
What a great story.
I know. She was so fun to research. Also, she's so cute to look at.
She really is.
I'm obsessed with her. So to, you know, the Italian plumbers and and the blonde princess.
Also, what a champion of layered hair.
Honestly, the Farrah Fawcett do is still going strong.
All right. Well, let's get more cocktails and we'll be right back.
See ya. We're back with the Frankenstein of cocktails.
This is a scary looking cocktail.
What did you make me?
It looks like bloody brains on top.
It does. Well, it's made for like a scary story. So.
Yes, it is, which is fitting because the story is horrific. Uh-huh. So do you want to know what you're about to drink?
I do. Let me know that it's not actual human blood.
So this is called Mimosa by Proxy. It is spiced rum, cream of coconut, mango, pineapple juice. You shake that all up. You pour it into a champagne flute. You top it with champagne. And then as it, like, when the champagne mixes with the cream of coconut, it, like, makes these really big bubbles. And then you put Angostura bitters on top. And it just, like, it's like a layer of, like, bubbles, like, pink bubbles and red and then yellow. It's a wild-looking drink.
And, like, the bitters are, like, seeping into the drink. Creepy. Cheers. I love the taste.
Wow.
It mm-hmm. goes down so smooth.
Yeah, it does. Mm.
And it's not, like, sweet or bitter. It's, like, a very classic.
I've got to say, over the years, I've really gotten a taste for, like, when we float Angostura bitters on top of something. Every time we do it, I'm like, that is really interesting.
Yeah,
I like it.
Tastes great.
All right. So what do you know about Gypsy Rose Blanchard?
So I'm pretty sure that this is the woman that her mom told her she's sick, but she's not sick. And she was, like, poisoning her. And then she kills her mom and goes to prison for second degree murder or something. I think that's the story because it's kind of like the story in Sharp Objects by Gillian Flynn. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is like the famous story that a lot of people think about when they think of like the overbearing mother.
So this, as we'll get into, is like the poster child story for Munchausen's by proxy,
right?
Which is a psychological disorder that we'll talk about, because also it goes by a different name now, but obviously that's the famous name that it goes by. And yeah, that's all correct. So we'll get into how this all happened. But as we said, like, there's abuse going on, there's murder going on. So like, if you are not interested in getting into this really horrible story, like, you don't have to listen.
Yeah,
I just want to give people that warning, like, that out. Like, we started off with the really friendly story this week because this one is going to be brutal.
Yeah. And also, like, maybe it's just not the week for it.
Yeah, you can always come back to it.
Like, if you're in a place where you need to, like, take care of yourself because your job has been really stressful, maybe this isn't it.
Yeah, this might not be it. Or if things like this kind of make you feel better about your own life, that you're not in this situation, then, like, go for that, too.
Get keyed up.
Yep. All right. So my sources were Wikipedia and the HBO documentary Mommy, Dead, and Dearest. So those are my two, like, main sources. And because there's, like, a lot of information to this story, I didn't want to make the sources, like, too wide, because there are just a million things about this case because it is such a famous case.
Sure.
So let's get into it. Gypsy Rose Blanchard was born on July 27th, 1991, to 24-year-old Claudine, a.k.a. Dee Dee Blanchard. And I realized when I was doing this research that her name is Dee Dee because she has two D's in Claudine. Claudine.
Claudine.
Yes. What a wild name way to spell that. And 17-year-old Rod Blanchard.
Okay, so very young.
Yes. I think that maybe she was a predator.
She's definitely a predator.
He's 17, and I think that maybe she organized kind of like getting pregnant on purpose to kind of keep him around.
Also, like, if a man did that, we would be like absolute predator.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So she was born in Golden Meadow, Louisiana. And there are so many Cajun people in this documentary. The accents were out of control. I loved it.
It's a perfect place to be.
Yeah, sincerely. I loved it. According to her father, Rod, Dee Dee started to notice health problems with Gypsy. When Gypsy was just 3 months old, Dee Dee was saying that she had sleep apnea and they would have to get her some special medical equipment to deal with it. And then Rod said the problems just escalated from there. Dee Dee was constantly reporting new issues with Gypsy's eyes, her ears, and her digestive system. Basically, anything that could go wrong with this child did. And she ended up leaving school after the second grade because she just needed so much medical attention. Soon, she developed muscular dystrophy and went from using a walker to needing a wheelchair full-time by the time she was 7 or 8, because Dee Dee said that Gypsy was paralyzed from the waist down. Other disorders that Dee Dee said Gypsy had were asthma, epilepsy, mental retardation, anemia, lung disease, heart murmur, GI reflux, hyperventilation, allergies, vision impairment, hearing impairment, incontinence, and eventually all the way up to leukemia.
So what are doctors saying about this?
We'll get into it.
Okay.
All of this meant that Gypsy was on loads of different medications. She was getting various drops, pills, and injections throughout the day. She also underwent many intense surgeries throughout her childhood, including gastrointestinal surgeries, eye procedures, and eventually the removal of her salivary glands. I don't know what that one was for.
How does your mouth stay wet?
I don't know. Some of these surgeries and medical issues would require her to have a feeding tube put in for long periods of time. And when she wasn't using her feeding tube, she was mainly eating children's Pedialyte. So that was her, like, main source of nutrition.
Right, so she's super thin.
Yeah. She had a breathing machine, or a CPAP, that she would have to wear every night. And I didn't get a clear answer on what was happening with her teeth, but it looked like all of her back teeth were capped. It looks like maybe she had some removed. I don't know. And, like, she mentioned in one point that she was going to visit the oral surgeon, but I didn't get a clear answer on that. So between 2005 and 2014, Dee Dee carted her around to various local hospitals over 100 times. Rod soon questioned Dee Dee about this. He's like, how could one little girl have all these different things? Like, why is she so sick? Dee Dee said, well, the doctors did some tests and she has a chromosomal disorder that prevents her body from developing how it should, which, of course, you know, leads to increased medical problems. And Rod was like, okay, like, I guess, because, like, in Rod's head, he's like, well, the doctors wouldn't be doing it if she didn't need it, because it's not just like she's sick and like Dee Dee's saying she is and they're not going to the doctors. Like, she's getting surgery. She's going to the doctors all the time.
Right. They're using their insurance to the fullest.
Yeah. And, you know, and Dee Dee also said, well, like, you better make your time count because, like, she's not going to live until the age of, she's not going to live till 18. Like, she only has a couple of years left. So, you know, Rod was like, well, I'm not going to spend potentially the last few years of my daughter, like, questioning all this stuff, you know. But of course, as the world would find out eventually, Gypsy wasn't sick at all. She was a perfectly normal young girl whose mother was actually suffering from Munchausen's by proxy, which is now called fabricated or induced illness by carers, or FIIC, because that's exactly what it is. This is a mental health disorder in which a caregiver creates the appearance of health problems in another person, typically their child, or creates the health issues by harming them. This behavior is typically motivated by the caregiver seeking sympathy or attention.
Uh-huh.
And Dee Dee Blanchard is now seen as the poster child of this disorder. In order to keep up the ruse of her daughter's chronic illnesses, Dee Dee would make her act younger than her age. She even hid Gypsy's age from her for years. Like, there was a long stretch of time where Gypsy had no idea how old she was. And when her father called her for her 18th birthday, a birthday he didn't know she would reach, Dee Dee said, now just make sure you don't mention that it's her 18th. And he was like, why? Like, that's how old she is. And she goes, it's just going to upset her. And Dee Dee went as far as to have, like, fake birth certificates made up, and she would change it on paperwork, always listing different ages on medical information. Like, there was a lot of deception going on. So Rod thought that that was, like, a little weird. And then Dee Dee would go to extreme measures to make Gypsy seem more infantile. She would dress her up in very childlike clothing, putting her in big glasses, big hats. And as Gypsy got older and started realizing she wasn't a child, if she started to say things that Dee Dee deemed too mature, because one of the other things that made her seem so young was she talked in a really high-pitched voice like this and talked really childlike the whole time. And so if that ever started to and she does have a naturally high voice because that's kind of stuck around, but it was way exaggerated. And if she ever started to let it slip, Dee Dee would squeeze her hand so hard that it hurt, and then Gypsy know that, like, what she was doing wasn't okay.
Right. Talk different.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there was a picture of her with Santa Claus when she looked to be about 10 or 11, and she was in her, like maybe, like, 19 or 20 when the picture was taken. And there's another one where she's probably a teenager, and she is being bathed in the sink like a baby. And she is 4'11", so she's, like, a small girl, but, like, it was really disturbing, this teenage girl in a sink like a baby. And, of course, she has the shaved head, too, so she looks even more baby-like.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, yeah, like I said, in the picture, she's bald, because in order to keep up the appearance of an extremely sick young girl, Dee Dee would shave her head. Now, Gypsy, when she was kind of starting to get older and put pieces together, she's like, why are we shaving my head? My hair keeps growing back. And she was like, well, you know, you're going to lose it anyway because of all the chemo, so, you know, might as well get ahead of it. You're so sick, you're going to lose it anyways. Let's just shave it so it looks nice and tidy. So it's interesting because, like, she's also lying to Gypsy. It's not like some people have questioned how much Gypsy knew and when, but it seemed like there was a lot of things that, like, Dee Dee was doing obviously just purely on her own.
Right. So it's like she's lying to herself, but she's also, like, cognizant enough to lie to the people in her life about it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now you may ask, well, why were these doctors treating her and literally performing surgeries on her that she didn't need? Well, a lot of the medication that Dee Dee was giving Gypsy, again, because she didn't need it, was making her sick, and it was mimicking other medical issues. And Dee Dee started to get a real knack for, like, knowing what to give her so it would produce the symptoms that she wanted it to. And this was especially easy during the time periods where Gypsy had her feeding tube in, because then she wasn't even force feeding her. She was just putting it in the tube. And Gypsy's like, I don't even know what she was putting in there. And then there's also just the fact that Dee Dee was extremely manipulative, because there are some disorders that are difficult to fake by, you know, doing that to someone. So she would train Gypsy on what symptoms to feign and manipulate doctors into giving her the diagnosis that she was after. Like, Dee Dee was a master manipulator, and she would pull the card like, you're going to deny my daughter treatment, you know, like kind of like that thing. Like, you know, what's that famous scene in like Steel Magnolias, like give her the fucking spinal tap or whatever it is. I feel like I'm mixing that movie in Juno. But it's interesting, because when lawyers later on really put all of her medical records out, a common note that was appearing in almost every one was upon mother's information. So sometimes, like, the doctors weren't even necessarily observing them, but like Gypsy was like, well, this, or, you know, Dee Dee was like, well, this is what she's experiencing, so like, you have to fix it, you know, even though like they weren't necessarily seeing it.
Right. And sometimes doctors have to rely on that a little bit. They have to, like, well, it's not going to happen. Like, when you take your car to the shop and it all of a sudden starts working again, and you're like, well, this is what was happening. Like, it can't, everything can't happen 100% of the time.
Right. And Dee Dee would also give falsified accounts of her own family's medical history. She'd be like, well, this runs in the family. Like, GI issues, like, yeah, we all got them, you know, to just drive her point home. Now, of course, this didn't work 100% of the time. There were some doctors who didn't necessarily believe Dee Dee. And one of them was Dr. Flasterstein, who wrote a note, underlined and in bold, saying, mother is not a good historian.
Ooh.
He also made a note that she had muscle mass in her legs, which a person who has been wheelchair bound for years normally wouldn't have. They're not using those muscles. And her MRIs that he did came back normal. He suspected something was off, so he started kind of like digging around, and he noticed that some other past doctors, you know, had similar kind of thoughts run through their heads. And like some of the things she was saying, like some of the tests that they ran, like didn't happen. Like that wasn't really accurate. And she didn't have some of the disorders that Dee Dee was claiming. And he even wrote in the note, mother appears to be suffering from Munchausen by proxy. He wrote that in this letter. That letter was written in 2007. So that is, I think, about like 7 or 8 years before the eventual murder.
Right.
So
people knew.
People knew. He thought about calling social services, but then the thought creeped in. What if I'm wrong and I start a chain reaction that could get this sick girl taken away from her caretaker? And that is the thought that's like, I'll just write the letter. I'll put a note in. So like, you know, if other people start noticing and somebody gets some really hard evidence, maybe someone can do something. But I did kind of understand where he was coming from of like, what if I'm wrong? And then like this really sick girl ends up in like the foster care system, you know, because like we know now from like observing the foster care system for so long that like even if the parents aren't great parents, it's like typically better that they stay with them, you know, like with the, so it's just like it's a really complicated situation. But he did make the note, so it's interesting that like people were starting to kind of catch on. So he writes this letter, and before anything could really come of it, Dee Dee was getting a little suspicious of this doctor because he wasn't going along like the other ones did. So she requested copies of Gypsy's medical records, which this letter, of course, would be in. She saw the letter and she stopped taking Gypsy to that whole hospital immediately and just switched to a different hospital so that she could kind of muddle the paper trail. As we said, a part of the Munchausen by proxy diagnosis, the driving force behind it is the attention that the caregiver receives. And this is maybe one of the biggest aspects of the Gypsy Rose backstory, the thing that made this case such a sensation. So Dee Dee first got a taste of what it feels like to have a publicly sick child that same year, 2007. Hurricane Katrina decimated Louisiana and the Blanchard home was destroyed. Of course, the storm was so destructive, so terrible, that people were eager for any even slightly positive news story. So the fact that this sick young girl and her selfless mother survived made people feel good. And they felt like if they could just get this sick girl and her mother back on their feet and help them and donate to them, that like that was them doing something. Gypsy Rose was honored by the Oley Foundation that year, which advocates for the rights of feeding tube recipients. They named her the 2007 Child of the Year. Mm-hmm. Then in 2008, Habitat for Humanity built the Blanchards, a wheelchair accessible home in Missouri. People were inspired and the community of Springfield, Missouri embraced them, often donating money to help fund Gypsy's treatment. So they're getting a lot of money and a lot of attention. And they were invited to cancer benefits. They were the star event sometimes, the special guest. At one, Gypsy is wheeled out on stage, and with her mother like holding her hand by her side, she's singing a song about angels in her high-pitched voice with a really old-fashioned dress and a big pink bow on her head. And it's just like, knowing what we know now, it's so disturbing.
It is so odd.
Yeah.
That like I just can't imagine somebody having so much forward thought and being also so disturbed. Mm-hmm. Like to be able to do the things she did, but also, I mean, that's just it. A mental illness doesn't make you not super smart. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I have to like get through my head, that just because this woman Dee Dee was suffering with this like very severe mental illness that caused her to be a criminal, it doesn't mean she wasn't an intelligent person.
Yeah. I mean, she is holding a lot of balls in the air at the same time right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a lot she's coordinating.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear Gypsy figure this shit out.
And, of course, this snowballed into even more media attention. And soon they were being gifted with more money, excursions, and many, many trips to Disney World. Gypsy was a huge fan of Disney. Not surprising to anyone. Nope. She really identified with Rapunzel from Tangled. That was her favorite movie.
Wow.
And of course, all of these trips were highly documented, because the more people saw this brave little sick girl enamored at Disney World, the more press and the more free shit they would get. So like, so much of Gypsy's life during this time is documented. And what's also interesting is after this whole news story broke, people were like, oh my gosh, this is a picture of me and my family at Disney World. And like Dee Dee and Gypsy are in the background because they were always fucking there, like just winning free trips. Like, not even winning, being gifted, you know, by people that wanted to help a sick child. Yeah. It's like so fucked up.
It's like, this is your last trip to Disney. You're 25 and in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and like, and again, it's like the more that Dee Dee does with her, the more she looks like the selfless best mom in the world. It's like, look at her, you know,
never giving up,
like giving her child the best she can, you know. And of course, it's just like, it's so sad seeing the pictures and how infantile she like made her act, you know. And again, one thing that people noticed in the pictures, now looking back on it, is that in like so many of them, she is holding her hand so tight, because she knew that on the surface, that's just her caring for her daughter. But when you realize it was her way of like physically controlling Gypsy, squeezing her hand, pulling her where she wanted her to go, you know, warning her that she's going too far with something, she's like, it's really fucking dark.
Yeah.
And that was just the physical abuse that was happening in front of people, the stuff that she could kind of get away with because no one noticed. Behind closed doors, Dee Dee was much more physically abusive. She would hit Gypsy with a coat hanger. She would slap her. And of course, she was poisoning her and over-medicating her on a regular basis. Now, of course, the question always comes up, what kind of person would do this to their own child? Well, a very sick person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dee Dee grew up in Cajun country on the bayou in Louisiana. And from an early age, she was very manipulative of everyone around her. And this behavior just continued and got worse with age. Her father was like, she just got everything she wanted. You know, he's like, I had one rule and it was no dogs. And we ended up with two dogs. It's just like, she just was relentless and so manipulative. And she, as she got older, would steal money. She would steal people's identities. She opened up credit cards and other people's names. She also at one point started putting small amounts of poison in her own family's food and almost killed her stepmother. Her stepmother was in the hospital for like a couple months because Dee Dee poisoned her. Like everyone in her family was like, she's evil. And she was even like on like the FBI's most wanted list for a little bit from all her fraud before Gypsy even existed.
Why did we not do something about this earlier?
I don't know. She just slipped through the cracks. She just knew how to maneuver. Like, I think it's just like that bald confidence that like people with like this type of mental illness have. Like, it's like because they don't actually feel any empathy, they just have no problem lying to people.
Right. And also like her being a girl gives her a little bit of discrimination in her favor.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, well, she, you know, girls don't do stuff like that. You know, a little boy that's like kills a dog in his backyard. Oh, he's going to be a serial killer,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah,
which, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's a wild situation. And at some point, Dee Dee's birth mother was sick and died under Dee Dee's care because turns out Dee Dee wasn't feeding her or taking care of her like she said she was. It was written off as accidental, but now people are wondering if it was very intentional. So that's just like a little bit of background on Dee Dee. You know, everyone agreed she was just like always this way. She was always trouble, which is kind of why, you know, she took her further and further and further away. I mean, they went from Louisiana to Missouri. Like, obviously, Hurricane Katrina had something to do with that, too. But, like, that was a big part of it, was, like, separating them, putting them in their own little bubble. So anyone who was like, I think Dee Dee's lying about this, wouldn't have a voice.
Right. They're not there. You haven't seen her. Exactly. Where have you been?
So as Gypsy got older, she started to have a little bit more awareness of what was going on. And the biggest thing was she was very aware that she could walk, but she wasn't allowed to walk in public, and she didn't quite understand why, and she obviously knew that her hair was growing, and
she's only gone to second grade, let's remember.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So she started to question things, and soon started to open up to people about her inner life, which she had never done before. So Gypsy had never had any communication with people outside of her mother. Even when people came over to the house to spend time with her, Dee Dee was in the room the entire time holding her hand.
So how did she start to communicate? Internet?
Internet.
Yes.
Gypsy had started to become interested in sci-fi and attending conventions and participating in online sci-fi communities. In 2011, she met an older man online and for the first time in her life, talked about the reality of her situation. He said, come to Arkansas, come live with me, I will protect you. Gypsy said, okay, and this is her first escape attempt. She snuck out of her house, got a ride from a stranger, and went to his house across state lines. She went from Missouri to Arkansas.
I mean, she's like, what, 25?
No, at this point, all right, so this is 2011.
And she was born in 91.
So she's 20.
Okay. She's allowed to do that.
She is definitely allowed to do this. She is an adult woman.
Well, we don't know what her birth certificate says, yeah, so we don't really actually know.
So she sneaks out. Dee Dee finds her within 4 hours.
How? Was she tracked?
So she got on, you know, Gypsy's Facebook and said, you know, again, second grade education, so sheltered, doesn't know how to hide anything on the internet.
Right.
So
search history.
She found out pretty much immediately where she was. Okay. So she finds her within 4 hours, and she threatens to call the police because she was like, you're about to have sex with a minor. She wasn't, she was 20.
Yeah.
But you know, like, it's really scared this guy. So she took Gypsy home. She smashed her computer with a hammer, destroyed her phone. And for about 2 weeks after this incident, she confined Gypsy to her bed using handcuffs and a dog leash. Gypsy felt like that was her one chance.
Aww.
At this point in time, she had been told that Dee Dee had drawn up papers declaring that she was mentally unfit. So if she went to the police, she would never be believed.
Uh-huh.
They had moved far enough away, like I said, from any family that no one really knew what was going on. And of course, anytime a doctor got suspicious, Dee Dee cut all ties and moved on. About a year after this escape incident, Gypsy regained internet and phone access, and she signed up for a Christian dating site. And there she met a young man her age named Nicholas Godejohn. He was from Big Bend, Wisconsin, and he had a history of mental illness and did have an arrest record for watching porn and masturbating in a McDonald's for 9 hours. Intense.
That's a good amount of time.
That's a lot of time.
That's a good amount of time to be masturbating in a McDonald's.
How did he make it? Like, I would have been like, all right, 5 minutes in, you got to get out of here, buddy.
Nobody in McDonald's, the employees don't care.
No, they don't. So,
and that's not a dig at McDonald's employees. Like, if I see something happening, I'll be like, that's not
my business.
That's above my pay grade. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Let somebody else deal with that shit.
Yeah.
And good on you.
It was most likely a fellow customer.
Yeah.
He was like, hey.
Like,
hey.
Yeah. If you're not getting paid, like, 20 yeah. bucks an hour for no. like fast food, don't deal with the customer.
No. So this is who she starts talking to. They talk online and they develop a very intense online romance.
Okay.
Started off very tame, very like, you're my prince, you're my princess.
Aww.
And
you're my Flynn Rider.
Mm-hmm. But then eventually it got more intense and progressed to a lot of talk about BDSM.
Okay.
And then Prince and Princess turned into Beast and Belle. So that Ooh. Was their big, like, fantasy.
Love it.
Yeah. Nicholas also claimed.
She wants to go from one cage to another.
Exactly. Nicholas also claimed to have multiple personalities, one of which was Bad Nick, who will obviously come into play in a bit.
Ooh.
But he also had Gypsy create different personalities to date each of his personalities. And she would take risque photos of herself as each of these characters and send them to him. About a year into their purely online relationship, Gypsy told Nick everything about her mother and her situation. And that's when the talks of maybe something happening to Dee Dee and Gypsy escaping really started. So they decided that before anything happens, they need to take it a step further and meet in person. And Gypsy's like, maybe if like you meet me and my mom, like maybe she'll meet you and love you like I do. And it'll all be fine. And we don't have to hurt my mom, you know. So they arranged to run into each other at a movie theater. And
he's coming down from Wisconsin to uh-huh. do this. This is amazing.
Uh-huh. So Gypsy arranged and paid for everything.
With what money?
All the donations they're getting.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they do have, like, obviously the money goes quickly in that house, but, like, she does have, because she not only is she getting all these donations, she is also getting child support from Rod.
You know, the Make-A-Wish Foundation is, you know, known for giving out money to,
yep.
for if your last dying request is to kill your mother.
Yep, exactly.
That's what they do.
Like, we'll fund it. So Gypsy arranged it. She traveled, she had Nick travel to Springfield, Missouri. And she and her mother were going to see the live-action Cinderella. So
I saw that in the theaters with my kids. Oh, my God. That makes me feel so old.
Yeah. It was. So
stop.
She's there fully dressed up as Cinderella, including a wig. I need you to know this. Because then, like, they're in the movie theater and there's one other guy there because no one else was seeing Cinderella in the middle of the day on a weekday. And Gypsy's like, we should sit with him. And so, like, they get together and they're all sitting together. Dee Dee doesn't know that, like, they already know each other.
And they're plotting her murder.
Yeah. And at some point, they end up, I don't know how they got away with
this. And the mom dies early in that movie, too. What a situation.
At some point, Gypsy and Nick go to the bathroom.
Same time.
And they have sex in the bathroom.
No.
Her in her Cinderella costume.
He has some fantasies. They've got safe words, apparently.
I don't think they do.
But they've worked it all out.
Because Gypsy always kind of says, she's like, that was really more his thing. But, like, you know, I'd never had a boyfriend before. So she was like, I was just going along with everything
he
said.
But is this, like, this is consensual sex? Or is she
being... In the bathroom, yes.
But this is being... She might still be being manipulated by this man online.
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
So... So they have sex in the bathroom, they leave, and, you know, Gypsy's like, so what do you think of that guy? Like, he was really nice, the guy we met at the movies. And Dee Dee said, I was definitely getting bad vibes from him. She said, that guy was weird and creepy. We're obviously never going to talk to him again. Gypsy was devastated. That was like her one way of like trying to get out of this without killing her mother. So they started to make concrete plans to kill Dee Dee and run away together. Nick returned to Springfield on June 10th, 2015, arriving while Gypsy Rose and her mother were away at a doctor's appointment. After they had returned home and Dee Dee had gone to sleep, he went to the house and Gypsy Rose let him in and allegedly gave him duct tape, gloves, and a knife. Then she hid in the bathroom and covered her ears so she would not have to hear her mother screaming. Nick then stabbed Dee Dee 17 times in the back while she was asleep, nearly decapitating her.
Wowza.
Afterward, the two had sex in Gypsy's room with her mother's dead body right next door. And Gypsy has since said that this was not consensual sex.
Mm.
Because she said that his original plan was to rape Dee Dee after killing her. And she didn't want this to happen. So she said, well, you can rape me instead. We'll do like a rape kind of fantasy thing.
Like a role play.
Yeah. But then she said during it, she told him to stop and he didn't. So.
Right. Which you should be allowed to say stop whenever you want. Absolutely. That's the rule.
Especially after someone just murdered your mother.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've been abused since literally the day you were born.
Yeah.
What did you say? It started when she was 3 months old.
3 months old.
She has not had a moment of freedom in her entire life.
She hasn't.
Until recently.
Yeah. After this, they stole more than $4,400 in cash that Dee Dee had been keeping in the house. Gypsy then went online and posted from her and her mother's joint Facebook account.
Oh, my God.
Yes, they have a joint Facebook account.
Yo.
Also, Gypsy had a bunch of, like, private, like, she had, like, a whole bunch of different Facebooks that she would use.
Yes, man.
She did. She wrote on the joint Facebook account, "That bitch is dead."
Whoa, God, nobody's.
And then she wrote, "I fucking slashed that fat pig and then raped her innocent daughter. Her scream was so fucking loud. Ha ha." I don't know if she thought that maybe this would make it seem like a stranger did this. I don't know. Because she has admitted that, like, she wrote the words. I don't know.
Maybe she thought a stranger. Maybe she was hoping if somebody goes down for it, it's not her.
Yeah. Some people, obviously, this is a very public post and they are very public people. They were commenting their concern. They said, oh, my gosh, I think your Facebook has been hacked. One person, God bless them, such an innocent mind. They said, sounds like you're watching a good movie. What kind of good movie is that? What?
That's like one of my aunts. I can see them doing that. I have some aunts that are like Facebook illiterate.
What? I fucking slashed that. What kind of, unless it's like a Helter Skelter movie. Like, what?
Yeah.
Insane. So.
So few movies have hard R also.
Yes.
Unless it's like a literal rated X movie. It's like very hard to go that far without getting in trouble. Unless you're on like HBO.
Exactly. So they fled to a motel outside of Springfield where they stayed for a few days while planning their next move. During that time, they were seen on security cameras at several stores. It had been a couple of days and Chipsy was like, I think we got away with it. Like if we were going to get arrested a couple days, they were like, we would have been arrested by now was basically her thought process. If someone really suspected us.
Yeah, no,
but they were not the best criminals.
I mean, she was the escaped daughter of this woman.
Well, and that's the other problem is like, you know,
people think she's kidnapped maybe.
Yeah,
of course.
So one of this really, really stupid, probably the stupidest thing they did. They mailed the knife, the murder weapon, with the gloves that Nick was wearing, all in one package, back to Nick's house in Wisconsin and put the return address as the Blanchard home. Like, literally put, like, Blanchard home, da-da-da-da-da, Springfield, Missouri. How stupid do you, like... mailed themselves the murder weapon from the murder house. And like, he lives with his parents. So they got the package.
I feel like they thought they were being really smart and like,
yeah,
like sneaking around, but they weren't. They're no Zodiac killers. That's for sure. No,
they're not. So after they thought the heat had died down, they took a bus back to Nick's house, and his mom picked them up. And then Gypsy was staying at Nick's house with his mom and his stepfather. And they were like, yeah, they were acting totally normal. We thought she was a nice young girl. And she even said, like, you know, Nick had told me a little bit about her and said that her mom was sick. So I was like, how's your mom? She's like, felt kind of dumb about that one afterwards. Like,
well, she's fine.
What?
Well, okay, so is Gypsy's hair growing back? She's able to walk?
No, she still has, she's walking, but she's wearing a lot of wigs at this point. Like, every security camera footage, she's wearing wigs because she still has a shaved head.
Okay, but it's like,
but the wheelchair is back at home.
It's going to slowly grow back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's no longer getting poisoned.
Yes.
And over-medicated. Uh-huh. So she's going to, like, slowly become healthy.
Yes. So meanwhile,
how are her teeth? Are they falling out?
Yeah, I think she has like fake teeth in the front. I don't know if they're like flippers or dentures or if she got like implants or something. I don't really know.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, though, after the Facebook post, people got concerned. So they went to the Blanchard house and they saw that Dee Dee's car was still in the driveway. So they called the police and said, can you please do a welfare check? The police went in, found that Dee Dee was dead, but Gypsy was gone and her wheelchair was still in the house. So all the neighbors, they were just so scared. They were like, oh my gosh, Gypsy's not safe, because how can she survive without her caretaker
and her
medicine
wheelchair.
And her wheelchair? That was everyone's first thought, was like, oh my gosh, Gypsy's not safe.
Of course,
because they're
it is.
Good, nice people who are being duped by this horrible woman. One close friend in the neighborhood then described how it felt to get more information and be so worried about this girl that she really cared about and then see her on footage walking around a convenience store. The first thought is like, oh my gosh, she's walking. And that's like, oh my God, she's walking. Oh my God. Like, she has been able to walk this whole time.
It's slowly sinking in.
That, and like the first thing that the police said in their like very public, you know, brief of the incident was, things are not always as they appear.
Yeah, they are not.
No. So when Dee Dee's family found out that she was killed, they thought, well, it's a long time coming. I wonder who she pissed off this time. And some of them even thought, I hope it was Gypsy. I hope Gypsy killed her. And then when her father was given her ashes, he asked Dee Dee's siblings, he was like, oh, like, what do you guys want to do with them? Should we bury her? Her sister said, flush him down the toilet.
Hell yeah.
She had burned so many bridges with her family.
Listen, if you're on the bayou, you just don't give a shit. Feed her to an alligator. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Gypsy and Nick were arrested on June 15th, just 5 days after the murder. Gypsy pleaded guilty to second-degree murder and was sentenced to 10 years in prison. Nick was found guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison and an additional 25 years for armed criminal action. And a lot of people have found this outcome to be pretty just. Gypsy shouldn't have conspired with Nick to kill her mother, but also she had been suffering under extreme abuse for 20 years.
Yeah.
Over
no,
20 years.
Absolutely. She should have killed her mother.
Yeah. Like, some people say that, like, that time, that was her real sentence.
Yes. Yeah. Full agree.
Like, if Nick is getting, you know, 25 years, we'll say, like, I mean, she technically served over that, you know, because she'll serve 8. I mean, Gypsy herself said that 10 years in jail was better than 10 years of living with her mother.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. While in prison, she started to exercise, eat normally. Her feeding tube hole finally sealed up, because her mother would just open that up, no problem, and put the feeding tube back in. She got her GED. She got engaged to a man named Ken, who she met through a pen pal program. They ended their relationship, and then in July 2022, she married Louisiana teacher Ryan Anderson in a prison ceremony with no guests present. She was released on parole on December 28th, 2023, after serving 8 years of her 10-year sentence. Immediately after being released, she popped up on Instagram and quickly gained over 14 million followers.
Oh, yeah.
She then became a meme of people saying that she was going to be popping up at various events and local restaurants. She was not going to your local Chili's, but she did go on every popular talk show to talk about her time in prison and, of course, her tumultuous relationship with her mother. She also wrote an ebook about her experience, and there was an HBO documentary, which I watched, called Mommy, Dead, and Dearest. There was a limited fictional series called The Act, starring Joey King as Gypsy, and another documentary series called The Prison Confessions of Gypsy Rose Blanchard, where she reveals that in the later part of her years living with Dee Dee, she had started to abuse painkillers to cope with everything. I mean, she has it around, obviously. Yeah, there's so many fucking pills in the house. So she talks about how she was like heavily into a painkiller addiction when she was committing the crime. But when she was asked if the painkillers were to blame, she said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
She said, I don't make excuses for what I did. She goes, there's never an excuse for murder. Like, she does make that very clear. And when asked about her mother and whether she was a monster, she says no. That her mother was also suffering from a mental illness. And she's like, can I say that? She's like, you know, I still miss her. She's like, I want her dead. I don't want her in my life, but I miss her. But like,
that was her it's only just like, communication for 20 years.
This is a very complicated, intertwined relationship.
Yeah, abuse is like that.
It would be like if your arm was rotting on your body and you had to cut it off. And you're like, well, I wish I still had the arm, but also the arm was like, it's better without it.
I'm glad it's gone, but yeah. Like, I also miss having an arm.
Yeah. Like, even if it was rotting, it was still an arm. Mm. Like, I don't know. It's a really complicated relationship. Gypsy has come a long way from the little girl in the big hats and the wheelchair, but she still has a lot of healing to do now that she's free of her mother and a prison cell. The latest on her was that in March, she deleted her social media profiles and filed for divorce from her husband after just 2 years of marriage. Only 3 months of it was in person. She said that he was controlling and aggressive, which I'm guessing she like has no patience for.
No.
And now, in a weird turn of events, this is all in the past couple days that this is being reported. She is back with the other guy she was engaged to while in prison, Ken, who some accuse of grooming her. So
who knows?
Who knows?
He's just Ken.
And they got matching wolf tattoos.
Fun. Get matching tattoos. Honestly, let her live her life.
Oh, and she's getting a nose job. That's the other thing.
Sure. Perfect. Yeah. Do whatever the fuck she wants to do. Honestly, like, as long as she's not hurting someone,
yeah.
Date who you want to date, divorce who you want to divorce, get your fucking tattoos, get your nose job. Like, she didn't lay a hand on her mother.
Yeah.
She helped plan the demise. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, like, I mean, from the first time I heard that story, like, I absolutely agree. Completely just. The punishment is so just.
Yeah, because I don't think it would have been right for her to get no jail time.
No. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, she very much orchestrated this. And
yeah.
And she also talks now, you know, I watched an interview with her and she was like, I know that there were options for me other than killing her. But she was like, when I was in it, she was like, I could not see a way out. Which
right.
I also understand. Like, I mean, that's a long time to live with. Because also, we can't overstate the fact that, like, there is also love in there. Like, she loved her mother.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, but have you also ever tried to contact somebody in, like, the bureaucracy? Yeah. It's so much easier to fall in love online and convince somebody to kill your mother or have them convince you that they should kill your mother mm-hmm. than to actually get a police officer to believe you.
Yeah.
Or, like, I mean, you tried to cancel a flight for 3 years before they let you, Katie. Like, think about how hard it is. And people could have come in and then her mom could have gotten worse if they just left.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Well, because that's the other thing. If your plan to report her backfires, then now you're in a worse situation. Like, we just never know what these inner relationships are like.
No.
And the fear that, because it's also like she was abusing her physically behind closed doors. You know,
right.
It's not just that, like, she was making her sick. Like, she was literally hitting her. And, like, I just, it's such a wild story. And the fact that we have so much footage of it is also really intense. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Know.
Yeah. Just like this childlike 18-year-old living it up in Disney World. And like you, and then it's like you're thinking, like, what is going on in her head?
Yeah.
Because at that point, like, she's technically like aging normally, just it's all being fucked up by her mom. So like she's having all the normal hormones of like, I want to date. I want to have a sexual relationship with another person. And like, but then I also have to act like a child when I were out in public. Like it's really messed up.
It's very messed up.
There are a lot of layers to this.
There are so many layers.
So anyways, let's talk about these two ladies together in a little segment we like to call
Just the Two of Us. There's a lot of things that I underlined or circled, but first of all, this mom is Bowser.
I wrote that too.
This mom is the, like...
Bowser is Dee Dee.
Eternal captor, right? Like,
yeah.
She is taking this young girl, this princess, and... Sometimes Bowser wanted to marry her. Sometimes he wanted control of her kingdom. But either way, he took control of her life and destroyed it.
Yeah, absolutely destroyed it. And it's also interesting because there is just so much chaos happening around these two girls. And like, sometimes they are just along for the ride. But when they do start to take their power back, it is intense.
Blowing up shit with bombs.
I wrote that too. Bomb threat versus murder. It's like, because you can totally understand like why they would relate to this. Like why they would or like go to this extreme, you know, because it's like in their minds, it's like, what else am I supposed to do? Like, no one is listening to me.
But also, if everybody in your world is being violent and chaotic, that's all you know.
Yeah.
So you're going to be violent and chaotic back. She didn't have someone being nice to her.
No. Well, also, I think another thing that has to be said in this context is like a mother like Dee Dee is also telling Gypsy over and over again, the outside world is where the abusers are.
I'm like, keeping you safe.
I'm keeping you safe. Because we have seen that in relationships.
Sure.
You know, with people we know, where it's like, no, no, no. I'm keeping you safe. Everyone out there is out to get you. They're terrible. You're only safe with me, which can make you feel so terrified to reach out, because then you're like, well,
what do I do?
It's compromising with the devil you know.
Yeah.
You know, and for Gypsy, for a very long time, like Dee Dee was the devil she knew. So it was like, well, why would I risk, you know, going out there and, you know, having all these terrible things happen to
me. And also, like, dare I say, her best friend.
Yeah.
They watched probably movies together and laughed together and went to the theater and went to Disney World and stood in 3-hour lines and blah, blah, blah. Like, they did all that.
Oh, you know they had the fast pass.
Oh. They also had the wheelchair pass. Like, so fine. But you know what I mean. Like, it was, they were friends. Like, if you think back on it, you probably remember the good times.
Exactly.
And that's what makes it so hard. Mm-hmm. But regardless, both of them had multiple escape attempts.
Yes, escape attempts, because they are the classic damsel in distress. And I think it's also like, this is what's important about the damsel in distress stereotype, is that when we really look at those stories, there usually are some attempts to escape. Like when we think about Fiona from Shrek and how she was like a martial arts master to try and like fight off bad guys. And like, the only person that really, like, the only figure I feel like that didn't try to, like, get out in the world was Sleeping Beauty, because she was literally asleep.
Asleep, yeah. Absolutely.
But, like, everyone else is, like, they are trying. It's just, like, we don't really see them as trying, you know?
And I think I wrote something down about that. Like, when you said things are not always as they appear, I felt like it's like, you know what? You see a princess locked up in a castle, but we didn't see the background until 10, 12 years into it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get to see the other stuff. We didn't get to see Gypsy's mom shaving her head and forcing her into a wheelchair and throwing hangers at her. Like, there was something happening that we weren't privy to, and you're not privy to everything. So maybe just listen to people when they claim abuse.
Right. Well, and also, we didn't know what was going on in Peach's Castle until we got that other video game.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh my gosh, she was doing things the whole time. Like, she's having her own story in the castle that, like, we're not seeing. I don't know. And I also just, like, I was thinking a lot about people who are created. Like, they're both kind of, like, characters that are made by particular people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, obviously, like, Peach is created by the gaming community. Like, these game builders, these world builders. And that's why it's, like, she's not totally perfect. And there are things that, like, maybe you have questions about with her portrayal or her character type or, like, Vibe Land or whatever the hell's going on there.
I mean, like, she is part of the larger Nintendo community, mm-hmm. which gaming is by and large a male community, mm-hmm. and Japan is by and large a patriarchal society.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she's being written by men for men.
Yeah. And Gypsy is being written by her mother. She's literally being scripted as to like what things to portray and like how to act and how to talk and how to dress.
Like, so much so that they're both wheeled out with big pink bows.
Literally, like,
think about Mario Kart. She's in her dress with her mm-hmm. hair down. Mm-hmm. You can see it coming out of her beautiful little mm-hmm. Helmet. And the same thing happened to Gypsy. She's yeah. wheeled on stage in a wheelchair with a big pink bow
to perform.
Right.
Yeah. And
ready to feed to the people.
Yeah. Because they're trying to hit that like emotional chord, right. You know, because when you see a damsel in distress, it mm. hits that emotional chord of like, oh, yeah. I want to save her. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to do something good in this world.
Sure.
And when people saw Gypsy, they said, I want to help her. I want to save her. But really, that's the whole thing about these archetypal characters. This princess who needs to be saved, this sick little girl. It's like, yes, those things really do exist. And like, there are like people who are captured and need to be rescued. And there are sick kids who really need help. But sometimes they're also totally created. Mm-hmm. And they're created by people who know exactly what we want to hear. She knew to put Gypsy Rose in outdated frilly dresses yeah. and big glasses and floppy hats. And she knew to dress her like a child, like a baby, you know, like Dee Dee knew exactly what to do to make her the most sympathetic version of herself.
Absolutely. And I think one of the very interesting things that ties this together is that both the movie where Princess Peach becomes herself and Gypsy Rose were both released in 2023.
Yeah.
They are like released from this like long-term cage that they mm-hmm. had both been in, and now they can like be their own like person. Like, they both got autonomy at the mm-hmm. same exact time. Mm-hmm. Which, like, I mean, kind of says something about the world in general that like we're, I mean, not in every avenue, but we're trying to like give women autonomy to like speak out and like be who they are
and to like be bad. Like, I know there's a lot of criticism about the Mario movie,
yeah,
know? Like there is with every big movie,
yeah, everything,
like,
yeah,
people were not happy with this or that, and like people aren't happy with like Gypsy getting divorced and getting with this other guy and getting a tattoo and getting a nose job. People have opinions about it, and it's like, but that's, she served her time. She confessed, she was convicted, she did her time. The court system went through its process.
She also didn't get to be an idiot in high school. So yeah. let her
get a dumb tattoo.
Yeah. Let her get her nose pierced or a nose job or whatever the hell's going to happen. Who cares?
Yeah. Let her be. Let Peach be.
Yeah. Just let them be.
All right. Let's toast these women.
Okay.
Allie, who would you like to toast this week?
Every time we do this, I get something new out of it, but mm-hmm. I just want to toast the value of female characters because mm. it's just, you learn so much about what we think about women mm-hmm. based on when they were written and how they were written yeah. and by who they were written. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's so valuable to toot our own horn. Cheers. Cheers.
I'm going to toast the people who are healing in a super messy way.
Yeah.
I think that we want healing to be yoga and meditation and tea and all these beautiful things and journaling and a garden. And sometimes it is getting a wolf tattoo with your older prison pen pal.
Sometimes it looks like that.
Sometimes it does. And you know what? I just think that we need to stop thinking of healing as a perfect movement. And I think Gypsy's doing that.
Yo, everybody heals different.
Cheers. A flute cut on a wire. All right. What are you enjoying in pop culture this week?
So everybody knows about the New York Times purchase of Wordle.
But the New York Times app, do you have it?
No.
Okay, so the New York Times app has a number of daily games that come out once a day. There's a crossword mini, which you try to challenge yourself to get
in. Do you have
in.
To pay for the New York Times app?
No, it's free.
Really?
And you get a, you can get them all in like, you. I compete amongst the family. Like, who can get the crossword mini the fastest? Who can do this? But there's one game that really sticks out to me, and it's called Connections.
I've heard about this. It sounds like so much fun.
And it's so fun because all the other games on this site, except for one is like a matching game, but all of them are so word based, and I really struggle with spelling and with words, so I always kind of feel at a disadvantage. But Connections is about, it gives you 16 tiles and you have to come up with four sets of four, and you only get a certain amount of guesses, and it's just really fun because you use your brain in a different way. And sometimes I fail completely. Sometimes sister and producer beat the hell out of me, and like, so do Caroline and Eliza can kick my ass. But some days it's like, you know, all things that can fly, and it'll be like horse, plane, you know, because it'll be like horse fly, house, like you, like they did in the beginning of Dumbo, horse flies and house fly, horse fly, all that stuff. But it's things like that where you have to think outside the box and like figure out what goes with what. And I just, it's the one game where I don't feel at a disadvantage because of like my reading difficulties.
You know what's funny is I learned about this off of Armchair Expert, and I was like, I kind of want to try it.
You would. So download the New York Times app. Okay. So you can only play each game once a day, just like Wordle, so that everybody has the same one every day and you can all talk about it.
Fun.
Like you'll that. Love it.
Okay. I'm going to get into it.
Yeah. Get the app. It helps grow your brain. And that you get up and journal and like do crosswords anyway.
Yeah.
So you and Casey could compete on the crossword every morning. God, that was so cool. The crossword mini, it's like six clues and you see how fast you can get it.
This is great because I didn't know this app was free.
Yeah. Totally
that
free.
That's also good information.
No, it's very free.
Okay. I am going to promote a show that Casey and I watched recently, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Have you heard about this?
No.
Okay.
But it's the show that goes off the movie, yeah?
Yes. So it goes off the movie, and even like the first episode is like dedicated to like the daughter of the original author of like the book that the first movie was based off of.
Perfect.
Or whatever. So it's a little series starring Donald Glover and Maya Erskine.
Perfect. Perfect and pairing.
The way that they do this one, so rather than a married couple that doesn't know they're spies, they are two people that are hired as spies and they are put into the marriage. So they're strangers meeting up and turning into a married couple.
And they're like faking that they're married?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then of course they like fall in love.
Uh-huh.
And then each episode is tailored around like a different experience that like married couples go through.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be like the first time like meeting, and then the first time you go on like a double date with another married couple, and then having the discussion of like, should we have kids, you know? But then like, rather than like them having a kid, it's them babysitting a hostage that they're trying to save. And then they're going through like couples counseling, like in the movie, and like all these different like relationship milestones, but within a spy universe.
I love it.
It is fascinating. And
I love
it's
that.
So well done. I really liked it. Yeah, it was good.
And what's it on?
Amazon Prime, I think.
Okay.
So it's like a lot of people have it, have access to it. But yeah, Amazon Prime, it's so good. Donald Glover and Maya Erskine are so good in it. People might recognize her from Pen 15.
Mm-hmm.
She played one of the like 12-year-olds.
Right.
She's so funny and good.
Awesome.
And I didn't know how I would feel about her in a serious role, but she is
did
incredible.
A good job. Great.
But yes, that's it. All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening. We will see you next week. And in between, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That would be fantastic.
You can find us everywhere on social media and catch up with our Today in History facts and get ahead on our cocktails so you know what we're going to be drinking that week and who we're going to be talking about.
Mm-hmm. And if you wouldn't mind, you can also join us on Patreon if you're so interested.
We have so much fun there. We do extra things every week. I think we should do another like BuzzFeed quiz this week. It's been a while.
Yes.
I think we should do that. And then we like say our answers out and then we'll give you the link so you can do the same BuzzFeed quiz.
Yeah. It's just a great little community. And for as little as $1 a month, you can join it and help us fund our banana liqueur habit and everything else we do on the show.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Well, we will see you next week. And never forget that well-behaved women
don't have their mothers murdered.
No, they don't. And they rarely make history.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to Her Story on the Rocks. We are independently produced by 1986 Entertainment and proudly recorded in Baltimore, Maryland. If there's a woman in history you would like us to cover, you can email us at herstoryontherocks@gmail.com. You can also message us on Twitter or Instagram. We post all of our cocktail recipes on Tuesdays so that you can go get all the supplies you need and drink along with us. See you next week. Bye.